All right, Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680, with our philosopher, and this is the last one of the season. I want to thank you so much. Every other week, Nick Hundley's been on. Nick, thank you so much.
Marty, it's been a pleasure, man. I appreciate you having me on. It's been fun to chronicle the season a little bit with you, and it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And as we start in spring training, you and I talk, and now here we are, the last weekend of the season. So as a ball player going through September, the record is not there for the Giants in September, and you're a veteran. How do you feel about a month like this? What happens?
Yeah, it's tough. Obviously, when we've been in the hunt the entire year, and then you know, you don't finish as a team the way you want to. That's definitely not the way you want to finish. But at the same time, we've been able to see some young guys play and encourage those guys. And they'll have such a nice head start going into next year about what to expect, you know, how to prepare as a big leaguer and what to expect at this level. And they'll take those lessons into the off season. And, you know, the off season is a really important time to grow and get better. You can make some serious strides in the off season if you're really committed and have a really good vision. So I think these young guys are getting that vision, and it's going to bode well for the future.
All right, but let's talk a little bit about the guys specifically. Let's talk about Derek Rodriguez and what you see from him.
He's got awesome poise, very in command of his game, very confident in what he's doing. Obviously has really helped us out this year, stabilizing our rotation, giving us an excellent chance to win every single game he starts. You know, he's been very, very consistent. And I think going into this offseason for him, continue to expect great things out of himself, and he'll do that, and he'll come back ready to go again.
Any question whether he's the real deal? Because, you know, you don't fall in love in September, but he really has given 20 starts already.
Yeah, he's been in it long enough for where other teams have seen him multiple times, develop game plans against him, you know, try to go out there and beat him a certain way throughout their lineup. It's not like he's done it for two starts.
Yeah.
You know, he's been a workhorse for us, gone deep into games, done a really good job getting bunts down, you know, just little things that help you win games. He's been very good at. So, no, I don't think it's anything that's going to stop.
Okay.
All right, real deal for Derek Rodriguez. How about Suarez? And I'll mention this, you know, doing the shows the last few weeks, and there was Boach saying, well, maybe we have to shut the guys down a little bit, limit the innings. You know, they're young. They haven't done it before. But these guys are actually stronger. They're stronger now. It's really very interesting to me. So let's talk about Suarez, because not a big guy, but you catch him all the time. What do you see with him, especially maybe the last seven or eight starts?
Yeah, his direction has been terrific. He's really getting downhill. The ball's not staying in the zone very long. He's doing a very good job that way. And I've been impressed with his consistency of his work between starts. He's not only competed on the mound, but he's competed to improve the next day and his bullpen day and his workout days and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's not surprising that he's gotten good results later on in the year, because he's been super consistent, and he's really taken advantage of the time he has between starts.
You know, with him, just from my view, it looks like when he gets hit, he gets too much of the plate. But, boy, when he's on the corners, he's tough.
Yeah, when he's when his ball has action down in the zone, he can really miss some bats, get a bunch of ground balls, and get some weak contact. And that's what he's done for us. He's really improved. And his demeanor out on the mound is very very stoic. He doesn't get rattled if he gives up some hits. If there's some traffic out there, I feel like he's the same guy if he goes eight shutout or gives up three or four. So that's always nice to see as a catcher. You know what you're going to get out of him mentally and emotionally. So, it's fun to catch guys like that. And he's really done a very good job for himself this rookie year.
All right, we'll stop with the starters on that one. I want to take on one relief pitcher, and that's Maranta. And, you know, he looks like Pablo. And then when we first saw him, everyone looked at him and said, oh, man, how can he ever pitch? Looked a little like Machi and that thing. And you've seen pitchers sort of not the prototype physical body that you like to see. What about this guy?
Yeah, I mean, you see, like, Electric stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely not a very comfortable at bat, throwing 97, 98 with two very good breaking balls. And then, I mean, we've leaned on him a bunch. He's come in and got big outs mid to late in the game and got guys out of some jams, some starters out of jams, come in and cleaned up some innings. He's a very fun guy to have around, too. All the guys love him. Very positive. He could take the ball pretty much every day. He's always ready to go. And he's got the stuff to back it up. So it's been a very, very nice year for Maranta, and somebody that was obviously battling for a spot in spring training to come out here and be one of our most reliable bullpen guys all year. It's a testament to him.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I don't remember if he even started with the team. Did he start at Sacramento? Did he start with the team? I don't even remember.
No, he broke camp. He was locked in a battle for sure. So he went out and took it and ran with it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to a little bit of baseball because Nick Hundley with us. And, boy, another season. And I always say you have to look at a whole season before you judge things. And I guess what I see, everybody's throwing 97, 98. You got to catch up with the fastball. Giants are not known as a good fastball-hitting team. You've seen it all year long. What's up with everyone who comes in is throwing so hard? What do you do as a hitter now? Because the game is different. Can't hit ground balls anymore. You know, you got to really make contact.
Yeah, you know, teams have done a really good job of improving their chances to get people out. We're the same way. It's definitely a different game than when I came up in 2008. Arms are better. You might only get to see a starter two times as opposed to three, four times. Guys are getting their starters out of there before you run through the lineup multiple times, which makes it more difficult. But at the same time, that's the game we're playing. So this is a game where I had a minor league hitting coordinator say the road to success is always under construction. And, you know, we're always trying to improve. We're always trying to grow, always trying to learn and make adjustments. And if you don't, the game's going to pass you by, and it's going to pass you by real quick. So we're always in constant improvement mode and searching for new ways to get better and make adjustments as the league makes the adjustments to you.
But what do you do with all the fastballs? I mean, you've been around, look how many years, 10 years, 11 years in the big leagues, if we do the math. What do you do now?
Yeah, you don't worry about it, honestly. I mean, everybody's coming out of the pen throwing 97. Might as well accept it, you know. I mean, this is the best league in the world. These are the best pitchers in the world. It's an awesome challenge, and you accept that challenge, and you don't shy away from it. You engage that challenge and say, yeah, I'm excited to face this guy who throws 100, and let's put my skills up against him and see what happens.
All right. Well, we're seeing it every day in baseball. Giants have a chance to do some damage here to the Dodgers. In a weekend where certainly it's going to go to Saturday for the Dodgers no matter what, and maybe Sunday, depending on what happens earlier. How do you feel about that, taking on the Dodgers in this role at home here and, you know, having a chance to knock them out?
Yeah, obviously it's not the situation you want to be in. You know, we want to be playing for our own future. You know, we want to be playing for our own chance to be in the playoffs. But at the same time, we haven't played well enough to do that. So to go out there and compete, you know, the league deserves our best shot, and we're going to give it to them. You know, we're going to go out there. We have nothing to lose, so we're going to go out there and play our tails off and hopefully we get a series and see where that leaves us.
Yeah, but it's Brooklyn. It's the Dodgers. It's, you know, it's the bums, and you got a shot to knock them out. This is 100 years of history here.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it's a big series. I know everybody in our locker room is real excited about it, excited about the opportunity to play meaningful games. It's not meaningful for our playoff chances, but it's meaningful in the league's playoff chances. So if you don't have the opportunity to be in the playoffs, this is the second best alternative.
Well, you're going to hear a lot of Beat LA, I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah, the atmosphere is going to be awesome. These fans are the best. They come with amazing energy. whether we're winning World Series or we're in fourth place. So we appreciate them a bunch.
Yeah, come on. I'm excited about it. It should be a great, great weekend series here. Knocking the Dodgers out. It's a big rivalry, Giants-Dodgers. I like it. We had one of our lighter side questions this week, and, you know, I like to always throw a couple at you. Someone asked us the quirk you like the most about this ballpark. The quirk you like the most about this ballpark. It could be anything. It could be the scoreboard. It could be whatever you think. But what is it about the ballpark you say, well, that's unusual and I like it?
I don't know if it's a quirk per se, but my favorite thing is the night game here when it's dark and the mist starts to float in off the water right there, and the moon is right behind center field, and you see the moon when you're catching right behind the scoreboard, and it's kind of dark. It kind of looks like Batman is about to fly in from the rafters, and when we're wearing our black jerseys in that atmosphere, I don't think there's a better place to play the game of baseball than AT&T Park on a night game with the fog rolling in and a full moon behind the scoreboard.
Oh, no, look, great answer. We haven't had that yet. We had the weather. Someone said that. Someone said Triples Alley. I said I like the right field wall, the fact that the scoreboard is out there, that it's sort of flat along the ground, and you got to get it over that wall. I like that. Someone said the seagulls. They like the seagulls coming in. How about that?
Yeah, I could do without the seagulls. No, it's cool. It's cool that they know what time the game's going to end. It's amazing how many times they've eaten hot dogs at this ballpark. They know exactly when to come in and when to leave.
The Giants, Nick Hundley with us as we do our last philosopher, and we really get the feel for the game with Nick. You did a great job all year. On the last road trip, you guys had funny sweatshirts and all that kind of stuff. What'd they give you?
A piece of wheat toast.
What's that for?
I don't eat gluten or dairy during the season, so I'm pretty strict on my diet. So Craw decided to give me a gluten T-shirt. Yeah, that was awesome. Very, very cool of Craw and Longo to do that for the guys and kind of laugh at each other. And we're in this grind together for so long. If you can't laugh at yourself, it's going to be a long year. So it was fun to be with the guys, build a little more camaraderie, and take some pictures. And that's something you look back on with fond memories.
Did you see a shirt you liked or one of the other ones that they said, well, that was unusual, so one of them?
Man, Belter's was probably the best one. The Sad Rabbit, that was unbelievable. Mark Melanson's, he had a character holding $3 because he's slightly cheap.
Okay.
I didn't tell you that, though. That was awesome. He's one of my best friends, so I can say that about him. But it was really cool just to have a great laugh. Chase Darno's Richard Simmons was classic. They did a great job.
I like it. That's a good part of baseball. All right, so what's in your future now? Last year, of course, you signed back here, and here we go again. Well, so what's in your future? How do you feel?
You know what? I've always said I don't address those things till after the season. So any questions about the future will be deferred to till Sunday, and then we'll see what happens. But it's such a great, great organization. I'm honored to have to put this uniform on and have the opportunity to be a Giant.
Yeah.
I love it here, but we'll see what the future holds. Nobody really knows, and that's exciting. That's the exciting part about this game. You really don't have any idea in life what tomorrow's going to bring. So might as well enjoy this one tonight.
Well, you did a great job, and I know you're still capable of playing. You're in great shape, probably the best shape of anybody other than me maybe around here, but you're looking pretty good. All right, let's take a couple. We have a couple of minutes, just some superlatives. Cy Young for you, where do you go with that? You got DeGrom, you got Scherzer. Nola's sort of out of the picture now. Where do you go with that?
Honestly, I mean, if DeGrom didn't have such an unbelievable year, I might say Kyle Freeland with Colorado.
Okay.
He's kept them in the playoff race or leading the West, the only team that is in the lead in their division. We got a chance to clinch a playoff berth, pitching to Coors Field. Got a 2-something ERA. So I would vote for DeGrom and then right behind him, Kyle Freeland.
Oh, very good. Okay, Scherzer with 300 strikeouts, not in the top two, huh?
I mean, you got to give him as much respect as he deserves. We faced him a couple times, and he is lights out. But what Freeland has done in that atmosphere, in that environment to keep his team, I mean, they've pretty much leaned on him the entire year, and he's delivered. And nobody in that ballpark has done what he's been able to do. I know Scherzer's had a great year, but for him, that's – I feel like that's kind of par for the course, you know, and kind of, in my opinion, a victim of his own success. You know, he puts up monster numbers every year. But for a young guy like Freeland to take the reins as an ace in Colorado and do what he's done, I don't think he gets close to enough credit as he deserves.
Oh, very good. You defended that well. Very good. All right. Most valuable player. And now I could put in terms of the best player in the league, or most valuable player, where do you go with that? And, of course, you know, we got Yelich and Goldschmidt, different Arenado, just names that I come to quit, Baez, come up quickly.
Yeah, I think with what he's meant to their team, probably Christian Yelich is, well, I might vote for him just based on how he's, you know, energized that franchise. Coming over in a trade, his first year over there, new environment. Obviously, to get out of Miami, out of that huge ballpark, to hit in Milwaukee is a much better spot, and he's taken advantage of it. And he's put up unbelievable numbers, and, you know, their lineup has been very dangerous. So for him to kind of keep them in the playoff hunt has been really, really impressive to me. So I vote for Yelich.
What do you think about the one-game playoff, the one-game wild-card playoff here? Would you like to see two out of three, or is Russian roulette okay?
I'd love to see two out of three, but at the same time, it might hinder the other teams that have won their divisions. You know, you don't want to give them too many days off. So I see both sides of it. If you could go two out of three right after the season with no days off, and then you play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and if you win, you play Thursday, and the divisional round starts Thursday no matter what. I think you could do that, but I would be very hesitant to give the divisional leaders and the divisional winners 4 or 5 days off when a team that won the wild card has only had 1 or 2 days off, you know, to keep them fresh. So if it's two out of three, I feel like you got to do it right away.
Okay. Now I think we're coming to that. I think it's going to come to that. John Smoltz said the schedule should be broken in half. Teams that, you know, you play 81 and then you start all over again. So teams that are out of it early have a shot in the second half to get back into it. What do you think about that?
Completely disagree.
Okay.
It's a body of work. I don't think that would ever have a positive impact on the game. You know, they do it in the minor leagues because there's so much turnover, and you can have a completely different team in the second half of a double-A team as you did in the first half based on the draft and guys getting moved up and down. But this is the best league in the world. It should be the best teams playing the most consistent baseball throughout the year should get rewarded, not a team that gets hot for 40 games.
Okay. No, good point. You know, it's a six-month deal. All right. I always give you a chance to ask me questions, so fire away. I've launched many careers, I want to tell you. You've done great getting to know you and getting, you know, you really have good opinions about baseball and strong opinions, because sometimes I ask these questions, I never know what you're going to say. So go ahead. If you got anything for me, I'm ready.
Yeah, I just probably say, one, who is the most talented player you ever covered?
Well, I would say Barry Bonds for me, because, you know, I was young enough to see Mantle and Mays, and I remember Ted Williams just a little bit. But to watch Bonds every day play and know that strike zone and get that bat from the hitting position to the ball as quick as he did, and hit the ball 450 feet and have one pitch to hit. I tell you, he's the best one I ever saw.
And then, who has been your most interesting interview that you've ever interviewed?
Rachel Robinson. the wife of Jackie Robinson, because I'm a Brooklyn kid, and number 42 was always part of me. Now, I'm going to see the Dodgers tonight, and I don't have any allegiance to the Dodgers, but as a little kid, and you know, growing up, you had a team, whatever that team was, and Jackie was our guy. And when he didn't go to the Giants in 1956, I learned loyalty. He was going to be a Dodger, and he was not going to report to the Giants when they traded him. He was traded from the Dodgers to the Giants. He wouldn't go, and he retired. So to meet her and have her tell me stories about him, it was like he became alive to me.
That's awesome. That's really cool, Marty. Well, thank you for the time. I appreciate appreciate talking to you. I got to go try to figure out how to get these guys out.
Yeah, and I want to do this again. I hope you're here next year. I really do. And you had a nice season. You really did. You're a hell of a ball player. You really are.
Hey, Marty, it's a pleasure. If I'm back, I'm definitely in. I'll do it with you again. I can't wait.
All right. Nick Hundley. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.